One of the serious implications of climate change is that pathogens flourish with increasing temperatures. And two of the serious implications of the anti-tax movement are that pathogens flourish when road-killed carcasses are not cleaned up quickly, and that we no longer have adequate funding to test carcasses of diseased animals to see what pathogens are in our midst. These problems have huge consequences, not just for wildlife, but also for human health. Last fall, I heard about an outbreak of blastomycosis in Wisconsin. This disease is due to a fungus that grows in moist, acidic soil in woodlands. When birds, other wildlife, dogs, cats, or people breathe in the spores, they get sick and in severe cases die. Animals and people that spend time close to the soil, including our dogs and small children, are extremely vulnerable. Birds don't spread the disease, but when old bird seeds and seed shells build up on the soil, they may foster good growing conditions for blastomycosis. So for this, as well as many other reasons, it's critical to keep bird feeders clean and the soil beneath them raked. There are a host of other pathogens that grow in soil and can be picked up by birds and other animals, salmonella and botulism among them. As roadside carcasses fester, all manner of nasty organisms grow on them and are carried all over the place by flies and other scavengers feeding on them. In summer, crows lose interest in road-killed carcasses that have been dead more than a day or so. Vultures aren't as squeamish, but overall there are far more carcasses than there are scavengers to clean them up. We're actively subsidizing the overpopulation of crows by providing them with an endless supply of fresh roadkill, and by not cleaning it up in a timely way, we're also subsidizing an increase in disease organisms. This summer I've been hearing of bird die-offs in Wisconsin and Minnesota, with finches and other songbirds being found in people's yards. Of course, when chickadees, crows, or jays are among the dead birds, it's evidence that West Nile virus may be in an area. Like blastomycosis and other soil pathogens, West Nile affects humans as well. But there simply are not funds to pay for testing hardly any carcasses. In Minnesota right now, there is no funding to test dead birds anywhere in the state except the 7-county mosquito abatement area, and even there, they're testing only crows. The state's health department map shows that the only counties with birds testing positive this year for West Nile virus are in those 7 counties, without making it clear that those are also the only counties where any testing is taking place. It's impossible that our backyard birds have the highly pathogenic avian flu that people are panicking about. That strain of bird flu has not shown up in North America at all yet, and the vast majority of cases have been in poultry, not wild birds. As a matter of fact, the only wild birds so far to have the disease almost certainly picked it up in ponds or lakes adjacent to infected poultry farms. We certainly don't need to panic about bird deaths in the Midwest, but we do need to be proactive for the sake of our own health as well as that of the birds that give us so much entertainment and joy. We need to make it abundantly clear to our state and the federal governments that two of the critical functions of government are to protect human health and to protect wildlife. Testing carcasses, if not all, at least a sizable sample, of diseased animals that die in our own backyards is an essential government service that we have a right to demand. And burying or burning carcasses rather than letting them fester along highways is another essential government service that we have a right to demand. These services cost money, but unless we're willing to pick up the tab via our taxes, the future looks gloomy indeed. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.